Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we consider your word this morning, by your Spirit, would you teach us in Jesus' name. Amen. For those visiting, we've been looking at this letter of John, 1 John, and today we get to the passage read to us in chapter 5. John reminds his readers again, repeating what he wrote at the beginning of chapter 3, that we, the Church of Christ, are children of God. In the context of the letter, John writes specifically that our belief is in Jesus as the Christ, the Messiah, the one sent by God as promised by the prophets. But don't confuse Jesus Christ as being only for the Jews. The salvation he brought was for us all. That was the surprise the disciples got, and why Jesus' commission is to make disciples of all nations on earth. Children of God here at St. James, do you love the Father? Then you will love his other children too. They are your brothers and sisters in Christ. How are we to do this? Loving them is directed by keeping God's commandments. Perhaps you were expecting a great list of things that you had to do, but no, loving them is directed by keeping God's commandments. 2 weeks ago, I spoke about how the love of God within us is communicated through our actions, so that it is the love of God himself that is conveyed through our simple efforts. I heard in the week of how the steadfast love of God is resulting in a change of heart in a family's adversaries, so as they soften to receive love in ordinary actions of care and compassion, even though those enemies opposed that family for decades. But now God is at work. In a similar way to God's love coming through us, when we pay attention to obeying and keeping his commandments, the result is both our blessing and the blessing of those around us, and in particular, the children of God. Further, verse 3, keeping God's commands is not a burden to us. They're not a checklist of rules and regulations like those of the Pharisees or any other legalist. God's sovereignty, when we're turned in humility towards him, will cause even our enemies to be softened towards us as we conduct ourselves under the rule of God. This all requires faith. Faith that the rational is transformed in the spiritual. The water outside the boat is not as it seems, but a sure foundation on which to walk. It doesn't mean that we're relieved of pain and suffering of this life, but the reality of our new life in Christ is breaking through even now to bring light in the darkness, so that we are with Christ achieving the victory which is already ours through the cross. John emphasizes again in verse 5 that central to this is a belief in Jesus, the Word of God, became by God's own volition the Son of God. Without an acceptance that Jesus is equal with God the Father and the Holy Spirit, then our belief is misplaced and we're not children of God. We cannot have confidence in attending church, even if we do so all our lives. We cannot have confidence in religious practice. We must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, co-eternal with the Father and the Spirit. There must have been some doubt about Jesus' identity by those who first received this letter, as there may be in those reading it today. John continues in verse 6, "And Jesus Christ was revealed as God's Son by his baptism in water and by shedding his blood on the cross, not by water only, but by water and blood. And the Spirit, who is truth, confirms it with his testimony. So we have these three witnesses, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. All three agree. John, who wrote this letter, also wrote the Gospel, and he wrote about the testimony of the Spirit at Jesus' baptism. You may remember when the Spirit came upon Jesus as he was lifted from the water, the Spirit came down like a dove on Jesus. And Matthew, in his Gospel, records the voice from heaven, "This is my beloved Son." John continues, "Since we believe human testimony, surely we can believe the greater testimony that comes from God. And God has testified about his Son. All who believe in the Son of God know in their hearts that this testimony is true. Those who don't believe this are actually calling God a liar, because they don't believe that God has testified about his Son." God the Father testifies to the identity of Jesus and his purpose in becoming the Word made flesh. So as we share our own testimony, may we pray that the Spirit brings those who hear a revelation of who Jesus is, so that the journey from their head to their heart brings them to the testimony of knowing the truth of who Jesus is. And verse 11, this is what God has testified. He has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have God's Son does not have life. In this resurrection age, Jesus has claimed his authority as Lord over all. In Christ, we have nothing to fear. The consequence of unbelief is death. The creation groans as the forests burn and the ice caps melt. But the Word, who spoke creative words in the beginning, will speak new life to creation too. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, the evidence all around us is of our failure to love one another. The result is war, rumour of war, and the destruction of the earth. Thank you that our hope is in Jesus as Saviour and Creator. Help us to grasp the amazing and powerful reality that you dwell in us, so that through us your love may be made known to others. Amen.